is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, that's Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week we will begin a new series, Religious Darkness Found in the Christian Church. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Elvis Presley with Reach Out to Jesus. After which, we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
talk to you about religious darkness today. Religious darkness. I found it in the Christian church. Maybe you have too. You know, you don't have to look very far. You don't have to go and pull up the rugs and, you know, get on your knees and look under the pews at most churches to find religious darkness. It's been said, and I think correctly so, that when there's darkness in the pulpit, there will be no light in the pews. Well, of course, many churches don't have pews nowadays. They have chairs, but I think the principle is still the same, don't you? If there's no light in the pulpit, there won't be out where people are sitting out in the audience either. And it doesn't matter whether church is big and small. I think you can be just as apostate and evil and sinister and have 15,000 members going on a Sunday as a church that might only have a dozen people. You know, proportionately, it can be just as sinful, just as horrible. And it is exactly that if it's not in alignment with God's word. I'm a big believer in alignment. You know, I used to have a car, and no matter what I did, I couldn't get the wheels aligned. Yeah, that ever happened to you? You put on the brakes, and it goes this way, you know, pulls that way. And I went and got it fixed, and then started going to the left side, pull the other way. Never could get that car. I finally just sold it. Had to admit to the guy. He said he was a good mechanic. I said, boy, I'm glad because I can't get this car aligned. Yeah, I'll take care of that. Well, I hope he did. That's a dangerous situation, not being in alignment. That can be dangerous. You know, I was in the Air Force, and I remember visiting one of the missile bases. And I was talking with a missile electronics officer. He was in charge of, you know, maintaining these huge intercontinental ballistic missiles, you know, the ones that sent all the atomic bombs over to blow up half the world. I'm exaggerating, but not much. Anyway, I was talking to him, and he said, you know, Tex, if our calculations are off just a smidgen, just a tiny bit, when we send this missile up here from Malmstrom, Montana, do you realize that if we're off just a slight little bit in our calculations, this missile could land hundreds of miles away from the target? Wow. I thought about that. You know, if they were to send astronauts up to the moon or some planet, if they make a little mistake, it might only be a fraction. They can miss by thousands of miles. They're not in alignment, you see. Happens all the time. Things like that. Seems just small things can end up in the biggest horrible situation, doesn't it? Wanda says that's true in cooking, the recipes. She says that's why I'm a terrible cook. I don't pay any attention to the recipes. She said, Dad, did you put two tablespoons of this? I said, well, no, I just threw a bunch in there. It was probably two tablespoons. She said, but it wasn't two tablespoons. No. Well, it wasn't really two tablespoons, but sort of close. Yeah, did you put a half a cup? Well, you know, which cup? That's not a cup. That's you put about two cups in there. I said, well, it looks like a cup. Well, no, that's not a cup. You got to have a regular measure. Anyway, it always turns about bad when I cook. Now she claims that I plan it that way. You know, I don't want to cook, so I make sure it turns out bad, and then that way she has to do it all. And actually, she laughs about it. The real truth is she wants to keep me out of her kitchen. She doesn't want me there anyway. It's like her castle. You know, you have your area, Tex. I have mine. You stay out of your place. I'll stay out of okay. Or out of my place. I know her game. She doesn't want me there anyway. She likes it when I mess up. Then she can laugh and all that about it to her friends, you know. And it gives her an excuse for, you know, she's the only one that can cook. And it's true. In any case, she's in alignment with that kitchen. She's in alignment. Well, friends, just spiritually, it's very important for you and I to be in alignment with God. Don't lean on your own understanding. The Bible says, you know, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof, oh boy. Well, causing me to think about this religious darkness found in the Christian church today. I have long studied and discovered the most dangerous philosophy of all. I have. And you know, the Bible warns about it. And it's the very philosophy that all of the ancient mystery religions from Babylon, Egypt, Greece, even in Mesoamerica among the Aztecs and Incas and all that, they all have the same dangerous ancient philosophy given them by Satan. They really do. And it's now being taught, I discovered, to the people in the pews in churches across the world, especially in America. And it has a little bit to do with this alignment situation. Are you in alignment with the truth, with God? Because if you're not, things are going to be dark. They really are. Have you ever screwed in a light bulb? And you know, you keep screwing 5 or 6 revolutions, and then finally it hits that sweet spot. And suddenly, presto, you, or whatever, eureka, when you use your own word, suddenly it's bright. Oh, it feels so good. You know, you're in a dark place, and you're, especially if you're trying to seek, maybe you've actually put your finger in the right in the hole, and you get shocked. I've done that a few times, too, back in the old days. Boy, you make sure you, then that you know what you're doing. But in any case, when you screw that bulb in, that last little generation, that last little bit, and it comes on, you just have a good feeling about it, don't you? You see, you're in alignment then. The metal parts, the tungsten and touching, whatever. I don't know what the metals are, but they touch. And you got light. Well, God's like that. You know, the Bible says in Jesus Christ, there is no darkness at all. There's only light. So that there's no room for a miss. You can't miss God by 1,000 miles. I promise you, you'll be in serious, serious trouble if you're out of alignment with God, because you're going to be covered in darkness, and in Him, there's no darkness at all. And why would He want you in heaven? Why should He invite you into His holy place? Just so you can spread your darkness? I don't think so. Well, Satan's ancient and most dangerous philosophy is simply this, that he wants people to be double-minded. Sounds so simple. Double-minded, but it's actually quite complex. It's quite a psychological thing. Recently was looking again at Aldous Huxley, the British writer. You know, next to George Orwell, he probably wrote the most horrifying, or would you call it, thought-provoking books, science fiction and so forth. But he wrote Brave New World, which touched on the seduction of humanity by a dictatorship that used psychology to trap people, to seduce people, and to keep them trapped in a web of deceit. And listen, one time Aldous Huxley was speaking about the theme of Brave New World, a world in which men were prisoners and didn't even know it. They were out of alignment and didn't realize it, you see. He said this. He said, it is perfectly possible for a man to be out of prison and yet not free, to be under no physical constraint, yet be a psychological captive, compelled to think, feel, and act as the representative of the national state or some other private interest within the nation, how they want him to think, feel, and act. He thinks he's free, but he's doing exactly what Big Brother wants him to do. Well, of course, Huxley didn't give us Big Brother. That was Orwell. We'll get to Orwell in just a minute. This is Brave New World. He went on to say this. He said, the nature of psychological compulsion is such that those who act under constraints remain under the impression that they are acting on their own initiative. You know, God said, Jesus said in the Bible, that things will get so bad, so evil and sinister in the last days that men will kill you and think they're doing God service. They will murder and slaughter and say, we're doing God a great service. They're out of alignment with God's will. But they don't know that because they've been psychologically led, instructed, and taught, and they believe that it's okay to murder and kill. and even to the extent that they're doing God a service. Huxley explains this this way. He says, the victim of manipulation does not know that he's a victim. To him, the walls of his prison are invisible. He believes himself to be free, but he's not. If you can be hypnotized, mesmerized, and your mind and heart and soul captivated, that is captured, and you don't even know it, that's the best kind of dictatorship for the dictator. He doesn't have to use any restraints against you. He doesn't have to beat you over the head. He doesn't need to have a surveillance state, video cams and such watching you. You just do it because you think you should do it. He's got you psyched up. He's got you brainwashed, propagandized into believing what he wants you to believe. Well, that would be exactly what Satan would like. George Orwell had a name for this. He called it doublethink. And he said it's the ability, yeah, ability, of a person to consider two irreconcilable or two diametrically opposite thoughts or facts, diametrically opposite. In other words, they don't go together, black and white, oil and water. They don't mix. But yet you think that they do. You see, you fuse two things together that really don't go together. Now, my automobile broke not too long ago, an electronic part, and I had a helper that went down to the garage to get the part. They gave the wrong part. It looked like the right part, but it wasn't the right part. It didn't have quite the same number. There was like the A was missing on the end of the number or some silly thing like that. You know what? It didn't work. We called up and gave them the number. That's the one you're supposed to have. Well, it must be something else. You know, I didn't have the use of my car for about 6 weeks because of that silly part. Come to find out, it didn't have the A suffix or something on the end of it. They did give us the wrong part. I didn't know it. I was reading an article here from Sherwood, Arkansas. Now, if you're from Sherwood, oh boy, do you ever have a church there? Oh my. Listen to this article in the Sherwood newspaper, I suppose. It's entitled, Sinners or Saints? ? It's hard to tell. Now, they're talking about a church there. Sinners or saints, it's hard to tell. Good versus evil. Let me read it to you. It's sort of an interesting article. It says the error on an online flyer announcing a forthcoming conference at the Open Door Community Church in Sherwood, Arkansas, on the church's website is not obvious. An error, and they had a flyer, like, you know, have a little publicity for the conference they're going to have at the Open Door Community Church. The error is not obvious, it says, but an alert, most would never catch it, but an alert colleague of this reporter did. The church's October 8th through 10th conference, entitled Jesus, Light of the World, includes three featured guests. Bishop Gene Robinson of the Episcopal Diocese of New Hampshire, the first openly gay, non-celibate, that means he's shacking up with another man, is a homosexual, to be ordained a bishop in a major Christian denomination. Also at the conference will be Grammy and Dove Award-winning gospel singer Cynthia Clawson and New York-based Reverend Vince Anderson, who has dubbed his music Dirty Gospel. To remind people that humanity is an important part of the gospel and in reference to the blues element within his music. So he likes to call his music, this Reverend Vince Anderson, the dirty gospel music. Now let's look at this. First, and by the way, I'm not even going to tell you about the error on the flyer. I think we've already found some errors ourselves. Now to me, they're quite obvious. But you know, this reporter, he didn't see any of these errors. I've got some errors right now I'd like to talk to you about. Some things that are not in alignment that the reporter didn't even know. He's talking about some other little bitty silly thing. In fact, let me go ahead and tell you what the problem was, the flyer. He says the problem with the flyer is the photo of Reverend Vince Anderson, the dirty gospel guy, isn't really him. It's Hollywood actor Michael Lonsdale. They got the wrong picture. But it turns out, by the way, that the guy just liked the picture. of Michael Lonsdale and decided to use that rather than his own picture. But anyway, that's another story. Things are a little bit out of alignment right there, I would say. But in any case, let's just look at these three people that are going to be, that were at this church this October. Now, the church conference seemed okay to be held at the Open Door Community Church. I mean, it was entitled Jesus, Light of the World, and he is the light of the world. But look at the three featured guests. First of all, there was Bishop Gene Robinson, an Episcopal. He's the bishop, the head of the whole, one of the biggest areas of the Episcopal Church. So he's got probably 100 other churches that report to him. He's a big cheese, a big potentate, poobah, or whatever you call it, of the Episcopal Church. But he's a queer. He's a homosexual. I know quite a bit about this Robinson. By the way, not only is he openly gay and shacking up with a man, he abandoned his family and kids, his wife and kids, to go shack up with a man. And they still made him a bishop after that. But then he had problems within a year or two of being made a bishop of the Episcopal Church when it came out he was a drunk and an alcoholic. And he said, yes, I've got problems with alcohol. I'm going to rehab. I'm working with that. And my life partner is helping me recover. So he was an alky, a drunk, a queer, and an abandoner of his whole family, but he was been honored by being made a bishop in the Episcopal Church. I think something is out of alignment. I think somebody is double-minded. It is not God. So who could it be? As they say on Fox News, I just report, you decide, or has it already been decided for us? For me, it's already been decided. The Word of God says that the effeminate will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the homosexuals. Thank God burned up two whole cities because of things like this that went on. Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't have to ask, I wonder what God thinks about that. I already know. If you're in alignment with the Word of God, you know too. Pretty simple, isn't it? You don't have to question. You don't have to be double-minded. Well, now let's see. He's gay. And he's living with a man, he abandoned his family. Wonder whether he should be bishop or not. It could go this way or it could go that way. Well, he's a wonderful man. He's a lovely person. He's a great counselor. I'll bet you he's so good in sex counseling. Well, I think we will make him a bishop. On the other hand, shut up! I say God has decided it already. Get in line. Alignment. Then there's this Grammy and Dove Award-winning gospel singer, Cynthia Clawson. I've heard her sing. She sings a lot for the Bill Gaither people. She has a lovely voice. She seems to love going to gay places and singing. As I understand it, she goes there and tells them how wonderful they are. God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change. That's what I've heard. Cynthia Clawson. She's a bestseller in the record business for the Christians. And, of course, Bill Gaither says the same thing. You know, quit being narrow-minded, you Christians out there. We should love everybody for what they are. Exactly. And that's why Charles Manson should be let out of prison. Is he a murderer? Yes. Has he changed since he was put in prison? No. But let's love him for what he is. Just a nice little Nazi-like mass murderer. Isn't that sweet? Let's let him. In fact, maybe we could make him Bishop Charlie Manson. He's such a nice guy. His cellmate, another mass killer, told me that he washed his feet in the morning. And every once in a while, he brushes his teeth. He's a great man. Bishop Manson. Now, then we get to the third character here, Reverend Vince Anderson. Seems that Reverend Vince Anderson is from New York City, and he's going to be visiting this Sherwood, Arkansas church. He's the guy that has dubbed his music, has given his own music the name Dirty Gospel. He's mixed. I'm sorry. I'm getting overwrought now. I'm getting a little, actually, I'm hurt. How can you mix the word dirty with gospel? Jesus willingly died on the cross for our sins. He didn't deserve it. They put him between two criminals, tortured him, killed him, And the gospel truth is that he rose from the grave and he lives and he loves you and me.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.